The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Thank you, Shane. You're listening to the Clare Byrne. Now, it's widely reported that the UK government will not be giving the landmark assisted dying legislation more time in the House of Lords, which means it almost certainly will fall. This is while the island of Jersey has approved a law to allow terminally ill adults the right to choose to end their life. Well, Dame Esther Ranson has been a leading campaigner to make assisted dying legal. She herself has terminal cancer, and her daughter Rebecca Wilcox joins me now. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning.
Your mother spoke to Sky News yesterday. She appeared to be bitterly disappointed with where this is heading. Will you give us a sense of how you both feel about this today?
Well, today was a day of reflection on what was a day of opposites yesterday, because Jersey, as you say, passed an assisted dying bill. They are going to give people with terminal diagnosis of 6 months or less left to live the chance to have a peaceful, dignified, pain-free death. And also they are going to let people with a 12-month diagnosis of end of life with a neurodegenerative illness like Parkinson's or MND the right for an assisted death. So they've gone further than we are asking. And what we are asking is simply choice. It's simply choice. You can choose not to have it. Absolutely, that is your choice. We're putting safeguards in place for those people that really don't want to have it. There is no slippery slope. There is no possibility of expansion. This is a bill that is an assisted death for those who are already dying. It's for terminally ill adults only. And it has been passed through the Commons twice. It has had over 200 hours of scrutiny, over 150 hours of debate, and yet less than 1% of the House of Lords, less than 1% of all those brilliant lords, ladies, baronesses and peers are saying no to this bill. And we don't know why. It feels like it is a matter of faith, and that is fine because it is their choice to have their faith, but it is not their choice to have my decision made on my death and your decision on your death. We are a separation of power and state happened, I mean, centuries ago. Why are we submitting to these very few people who are pretending this is scrutiny when it absolutely is not? It is sabotage. Scrutiny is not 1,200 amendments, including worries about pregnancy tests for 94-year-old men. That is not scrutiny. That is ridiculous. That is inhumane and that is cruel.
Well, Sky did a lot of coverage on this last night because they couldn't do any political coverage because of the by-election that was happening. So they had a laser-like focus on this issue for a long time last night. And I watched a lot of it. And the Lords who were on defending this, they say this is our job. We are there to scrutinise legislation. They are allowed, they're permitted under legislation to override these House of Commons bills that have passed through the lower house. And they say they were doing nothing other than what they are required to do. What do you say to that argument?
I would say, I'm sorry, that's a lie. I know that's a really strong thing to say. I know that that might get me in trouble, but I can't word it any differently now. I'm so frustrated with this situation because if there's six of you and you're bringing over half of these 1,200 amendments, that's nearly 700 amendments between you, and they are all focusing on things that were absolutely thoroughly debated and scrutinised in the House of Commons, and you are unelected, and you have known allegiances to the Catholic and the Christian Church, what is going on? Why do you think it's acceptable to actually stop people choosing this? It's not affecting you. It is the safest bill of its kind. It follows the model of Oregon, which has successfully brought assisted death to those who choose it for 25 years. It has been debated in Parliament for decades. I thought it was only 20 years since Lord Falconer brought it, but it's been debated for years before that. This is not rushed through. This is very carefully analysed. It's had legal scrutiny, medical scrutiny, social care scrutiny. It is for people who have no other choice, who just want to shorten their death. They don't want to shorten their lives. Most of the people that I'm campaigning alongside who have a terminal diagnosis want nothing more than to live another day, to fight another day, to experience life and love with their family. They don't want to die, but more than that, they don't want to die in agony without any pain relief that can help them, because that happens to 20 people a day in this country. 20 people a day with the best palliative care available are unable to receive pain medicines that will touch what they're going through.
Well, that's, I mean, that is an argument that the other side will make, that this is about not having good palliative care, that if that was in place, that there wouldn't be a need for this. But you're saying that even with the best palliative care, there are some people who die in pain.
Absolutely, there are. One of my fellow campaigners, his wife drowned on her own fluids over 4 days. That's actually torture. That's waterboarding. That's watching your loved one go through something and there are no medical directives to help. Another campaigner, a friend of mine, their only medical directive was use dark towels so the patient doesn't see how much blood is coming out of everywhere that it's coming out of. These are horror stories, I know. But there are also the stories of those people that have taken their own lives. 650 terminally ill people take their own lives every year because they're afraid of what's coming next. And the Social Care and Health Select Committee report, they said last year that there is no adverse effect on palliative care for the countries that have brought in this legislation. In fact, palliative care improves in certain places. It works alongside it. A lot of palliative care consultants that I have spoken to said this is just another tool in a medical bag that is full of options, and that is the last option.
But there are other palliative care specialists who are vehemently against this, and we've had this debate here in Ireland, as I'm sure you are well aware, and there is that also that argument about this being open to abuse and the terminally ill and the elderly being open to abuse, where someone might use this law to hasten their death to acquire their assets.
And I've heard this argument before, and we have listened to it, and there are safeguards in place. There are legal framework safeguards in place. There are social care workers who will, social workers who will come in and assess this. This is not going to be something that is done just blindly ticking off a form. This is something that is going to be heavily scrutinized each and every case. They think very few people will actually be able to access this in the end because it will go through so much scrutiny. And for the people that are worried about coercion, people are worried that there are vulnerable people out there who may be forced to hasten their death. What laws are there now protecting them? This is actually going to protect you because people will be scrutinising what is happening with end-of-life care. And for the palliative care doctors and medical professionals out there who are doing such an incredible job, they are allowed to choose whether they get involved with this. It's like any form of medicine. You choose which specialism you do. You choose whether you will offer it to your patients, and your patients can choose whether they want it. That is the key word, choice.
And given that now it will be allowed in Jersey, and the Isle of Man has also decided to allow this to go ahead, fears have been raised around tourism, you know, assisted dying tourism. But there are rules in place. So you'll need to be living in Jersey for 12 months before you can avail of this, and 5 years in the Isle of Man. Do you think that that answers that question, that people, it just won't be practical to travel to avail of this in those places?
I do think that is one of the reasons why there won't be this death tourism, which is an awful phrase. And again, people are going to be forced to spend £15,000 flying to Switzerland. It's awful that we are outsourcing death to other countries and then preventing our own people from getting it. My mum, it's weird to say the word privileged, but she has the privileged position whereby she is able to afford Dignitas. She has signed all the papers, and my goodness, there are a lot of them, and she has to keep updating it. But the problem with Dignitas, and I guess how it will work with Jersey and the Isle of Man, is that your loved one has to go ahead of their time. They have to go before they are would actually die if they were here, because they have to be fit for travel. And my mom will have to go alone, because we talked to a criminal solicitor about what our liabilities were with it, with just going with her, accompanying with her, not helping her in any way.
Just being there,
just holding her hand. And we were told that because I have campaigned and because Mum has campaigned, we will be heavily scrutinised by the police. We will be thoroughly investigated for 2 years, even though it's been really clear that this is Mum's choice. I will possibly lose my job. I will certainly not be able to do my work with Childline, which you need an enhanced DBS for. My brother is a doctor. He will possibly lose his job, my sister her job. So my mother has absolutely lain down the line and said, you can't come with me. I'm going alone. This is my choice. I don't want it to affect you.
We might have a listen to Esther speaking yesterday on Sky News. As I said, she did an interview with them on this when it became clear that this bill is likely to fall now because of what happened in the House of Lords. Here's Esther Ranson speaking yesterday.
This is absolute blatant sabotage. This is a handful of peers putting down 1,200 amendments, not to scrutinise the bill, which is their job, but to block it. That's what they wanted. A few peers, for their own reasons, have decided that they're going to stop this going through Parliament. And the only way to stop them would be to invoke the Parliament Act, which has happened before, or get rid of the House of Lords. They're clearly not fit for purpose.
I'm listening to that, thinking about all you've told us about her plans to use Dignitas. Rebecca, how is she right now?
I think she's quietly and dignified and she's furious. How can you not be? This is something that we have really committed to for the past few years. And I mean, we're relatively new to this campaign. So many people that I have spoken to and received letters and emails from, and I'm very, so grateful for their contact. They have been campaigning for this for decades and decades. So I can't imagine how they're feeling at the moment. It is so frustrating. It is being thwarted by an unknowable, unforgivable opposition who will not stick to the truth, will not stick to the facts, are scaremongering, are pretending this is scrutiny. It is not scrutiny, as she says. It is sabotage. I venerate the House of Lords. I think the process by which they can oversee the bills and the laws that come through the House of Commons is usually really effective. This is proving that sometimes they act with malice, and it is unforgivable.
And just going back to this decision around using Dignitas, like there's a lot of logistics that somebody will have to work out for themselves. And as you say, they need to do that alone because you can't be part of the decision making. So you would have to set a line in the sand for yourself. Like your mother would have to say, well, when I get to this point, that's when I book my flight. Is that how it will work?
Yes, obviously everything that I know is hypothetical because I'm not allowed to know the details of it.
Yeah.
And one of the terrifying things about it is Mum can't tell me when she's going. So every time I see her, I give her this hug and wonder if that's the last time. And I'm sorry, I really didn't want to get emotional because it's not my story, because this bill was never, ever, ever going to help us. This is about everybody else that is going through this, has experienced this, or is experiencing the trauma of watching the person they adore go through the most unimaginable pain. Mm-hmm. One of the campaigners said to me that she believes that every single person out there is one experience like hers away from agreeing with this bill. All you have to do is be completely helpless in the face of your loved one's agony and just observing it.
Yeah,
and then you want this bill to pass.
Because to protect you and your siblings, you cannot know when the last time will be that you see your mother.
No.
You can't know that for your own safety.
I can't know that. It's extraordinary. It's ridiculous. It's horrific.
Rebecca, thank you for talking to us. That is Rebecca Wilcox, who is an assisted dying campaigner in the UK.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.